Blog Talk Radio.
Up, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ammo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Hey, man. I'm glad to be here with you, as always, man. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be co-hosting, as usual.
All right. Thank you again.
Yeah,
and,
no problem.
Thank you, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this episode, Sports and a Legend. And, on today's show, we're going to talk about the NBA Finals, LeBron James in Mandarin mode, like the Iron Man villain, just collecting rings, man. You know, we're going to talk about that we're going to lead off the show with that. You know, we're going to talk about that, you know, the aftermath in the NBA as a result. The MLB playoffs that are going on right now, you know, Rays versus Astros are being played right now. So we'll give you the results of it live as we speak. Rays are leading 4-0. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about tomorrow's Game 7 in the NLCS between the Braves and the Dodgers. And, you know, we'll talk also at the end of the show, a little WWE, a little AEW, and whatever else is on your mind. But most importantly, we'd love to hear from you. And if you want to make your voice be heard, hey, by all means, you know, this is your show. I'm just a figurehead. If you guys want to just talk, feel free to call in 563-999-3529. 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics or more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, let's give LeBron his due, man. He did what he set out to do, and he brought the title back to Lakerland, just as I predicted years ago that he would. And LeBron is the world champion. The Lakers are back on top, as usual. Thing as well in the NBA world. And, you know, basically, congratulations to LeBron. You know, he beat his former team, the Miami Heat, to capture his fourth title, and he becomes the first guy in NBA history to win multiple titles in three different cities. Of course, he won it with Heat after the controversial the decision. Then he redeemed himself, came back to Cleveland, won the title there against the Warriors in that epic rivalry they had. And then, you know, he went back to the future, you know, his former team. So, you know, nothing you could say there. You got to give the man his credit, you know. You just got to give the man his credit. You don't have to love the guy, but you got to respect the guy. And, you know, flat out, you know, he's all-time great. You know, and that's all you have to say, man. What's your thoughts, Mac?
Congrats to the Lakers, you know, for winning their 17th championship, was it?
17th championship tied with the Boston Celtics.
Tied with the Boston Celtics, you know, they've been the best team all season long. And you know, they, after Kobe's death, you know, they played to honor, you know, Kobe and Gigi, and they ended up winning the championship. And you know, they did right. You know, they were favored all year to win it, and they didn't let up. You know, and, you know, congrats to them. And LeBron, you know, like you said, he deserves respect. You know, he's one of the all-time greats, one of the best players that we've ever seen. And man deserves more respect. I mean, what more can he do? He's won three championships with three different teams. You know, he gets finals MVPs, regular season MVPs, all-around player. You know, he does everything. So, you know, it's time to give this man some respect. And stop calling him the bum. Stop, you know, criticizing his finals record. You know, and, yeah, just appreciate his greatness. You know, appreciate him right now while he's in the NBA, you know. So, I mean, the guy, he's just flat out amazing, man. You know, he's the best player of this generation. And, you know, people just have to appreciate him more, you know, and his legacy, well, what he's currently achieving, all his accomplishments. You know, we're never going to see a player like this ever again, probably. So he deserves a lot of respect. But, you know, him and the Lakers, they did a great job. And, you know, they did what they had to do. And they were the best team, and they finished as the best team. So, congrats to them again.
I second that, man. I mean, I've been saying it forever. The best player I've seen in my lifetime, with my own two eyes, is flat out Michael Jordan. I've always said the person who I've seen came closest to his greatness in the past, almost 30 years I've been watching basketball. And I've been on this earth, basically. It's Kobe Bryant, the late, great Kobe Bryant. But right after that, you know, is LeBron, man. This guy, he's dominated the game, man. Like, when you think of all the great guys who are worthy of the GOAT recognition, yeah, you don't, you know, you just don't start at Jordan. You know, you also got to, you know, look back at Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, you know, those type of guys, those upper echelon type players, those guys, they've all, for the most part, they've all played, you know, professional basketball, whether it was in, you know, before they played in the NBA, they, you know, some of them played in, you know, Harlem Globetrotters, some of them played, you know, NCAA. You know, they've all been coached by legendary coaches, you know, but LeBron James, you know, he came straight out of Akron, high school basketball. And I'll admit it, you know, I'm going to be the first one to say this, because I've said this many times throughout the 11 year span of this show. When they were showing him on ESPN dunking on high schoolers, I didn't believe the hype. I thought he'd be a very good player, but I didn't think he'd be an all-time elite player like this. But once Cleveland drafted him, sure enough, with my eyes, I saw this guy was going to be an icon. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, it was pretty obvious. You know what I mean? Because at first I didn't take him that seriously. I thought it was just the hype. You know, he's playing against high schoolers. This guy is super talented, but, you know, he's not playing against, you know, the elite of the NBA. But once he suited up in the NBA, you know, he made his presence known. You know, he's that great of a player. And, you know, I didn't like the decision, you know, when he played the Knicks and he went to, you know, Miami. But, you know, when he won the titles, I was like, you know, I didn't like the way he did it, but it worked, so I couldn't knock it. And then afterwards, to me, what squashed my, I guess, for lack of a term, animosity, which, even though I don't really have any beef with him personally, but I didn't like that he took the decision and went to Miami and got the titles the easy way, in my opinion. But once he won the titles, you know, hey, it worked out. And then afterwards, to me, what everybody should get off his back is that he went back to Cleveland. He didn't have to go back there. He came back to Cleveland. He won the title against the Warriors. Yes, the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead, but hey, you play to win the game, like Herm Edwards said, you know, with the Jets. You know, he carried the team on his back with Kyrie, and they got the title, the first ever championship not only for the Cavaliers, but the first ever championship in the city of Cleveland since the Jim Brown 1964, you know, Cleveland Browns. So once he did that, you know, that's it. You know, I gave him the respect. I mean, am I a LeBron James fan? No. Do I think he's all time great? Yeah. But let's say after his contract is done and he signs with the Knicks and he's still on top of the player, which I doubt that's going to happen. Would I be a hypocrite and support the guy? Of course. Any player who's going to help the Knicks get better, ideally a championship, but obviously we know that this team is light years away unless a Leon Rose skillfully, you know, turns this team around. You know, they did hire some good executives, but we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, basically LeBron, you know, not only did he win in Miami, two titles with the big three with Wade and Bosch, came back to the city of Cleveland. You know, because he left, they got Kyrie, gave him that number two guy for him to win the title back in Cleveland. And then even, you know what I mean? Like, and then when he lost the other championship, you know, nobody held it against him. He got the title. You know what I mean? He brought the title for the first time ever to Cleveland. I mean, he was arguably, even if he never won a championship in Cleveland, he still arguably is the greatest Cleveland Cavalier of all time. I mean, it goes literally without saying. You know what I'm saying? And then he left. He went to LA, which is what I picked for so many years. And you go back to the episodes on this show, I literally called it. Even in that off season, a few years ago, I said he was going to go to L.A. Because remember, in the 90s, who did he root for? He rooted for the Bulls. What did the Bulls do? They won titles in the 90s. He was a Yankee fan, which it's well documented. What did the Yankees do in the 90s? Macaulay, you know. I don't even have to say. We all know. We're all sports fans here listening. So I don't even have to tell about the four titles that the Yankees won from 96 to 2000. And then afterwards, he was also a Cowboys fan, where, you know, during the Troy Aikman era where they won. So this guy, he's always been about winning. So to me, the Lakers have always been – Lakers and Celtics have always shared the top two, you know, the best teams of all time. In my opinion, I always thought it was the Lakers because Celtics is always about business. They you know, they play the game the old-fashioned, you know, hard-nosed, defense-minded thing. Lakers, on the other hand, they're showtime Lakers. They're flashy. They always get the best centers, whether it's Chamberlain or Jabbar or Shaq. They always get the best players to come to L.A. You know, it's Hollywood. So, to me, it was a no-brainer that he would go to L.A. because of the history of the Lakers. And for the simple fact, wherever LeBron goes, he draws the best stars to him to get the ring. So to me, it was a no-brainer that, you know, he went to L.A. And, of course, he won the title. So basically, you know, Matt, I have nothing but props to him. Congratulations to the LA Lakers, even though that's my least favorite team in the NBA. But, you know, fair is fair. They dominated the league as we all thought they would, and they brought the title back. You know, it's been a decade, you know, since, you know, the late great Kobe Bryant brought the title, and, you know, the silver lining, you know, of this year, you know, where we unfortunately lost Kobe in a tragic, you know, plane accident. So, you know, props to LeBron and, you know, the, you know, AD and Rondo, you know, for bringing the title back, you know, to LA. And one more thing about Rondo, he became the second player ever in NBA history to win for the Celtics and the Lakers. The first person to do that was, we're going way back, old school, Clyde LaViolette. You know, this guy played with the Milwaukee Lakers, which is why the Lakers have the name Lakers, because there's a lot of lakes in Lakers in Minneapolis, and there's no lakes in LA. So, you know, props to them. You know, he joins Lavolette, you know, who played on the George Mikan Lakers back in the days. And he shares that distinctive honor of winning the title for arguably the two best teams in the two best NBA franchises. So, again, congratulations to the LA Lakers bringing the title to LA.
Yeah, congrats.
But yeah, now there's the aftermath of this, you know, the Lakers winning the title. 17th title to be exact. And you know, obviously AD Anthony Davis, he's going to opt out as expected, and as even expected, he's going to re-sign with the Lakers, you know, for a bigger and better deal. So for him, Rondo, he's going to be a free agent. Don't know what he's going to do, you know, as a free agent. But now, as a result, everybody know, which is a very familiar spot, all the teams are chasing the Lakers. You know the Bucks, they were the favorite to challenge the Lakers for the title. And now there's rumors that they and, you know, some other teams are going to try to, I mean, including the Knicks, they're going to try to go after Chris Paul or Westbrook. And as a matter of fact, the Lakers are the favorite to get Chris Paul, which will give them that, you know, that dynamic, you know, trio, you know, with them, you know, possibly, you know, losing, you know, Rondo, who had a fountain of youth, you know, in this this postseason. So,
I think Paul would be a better fit for the Lakers than the Knicks, because, you know, why would you, as a veteran, want to go to a young team that's probably, you know, years away from winning? I mean, Paul wants to end his career with a championship, and, you know, the best way to do that is to go to the Lakers. So I think the Lakers would be a great fit for him, and he's buddies with LeBron. So I can definitely see that happening.
Yeah, man, it's like if I had a script, man, you basically read my script, man. It literally doesn't make sense for him to get traded to the Knicks, because one, the Knicks is a losing organization. Two, they have very young players who have literally no experiences in winning. And, you know, Chris Paul has no championships whatsoever. Yeah. So he's not going to want to come to a losing situation. You know what I mean? He was in a better situation with the Thunder before, you know, they look like they're going to rebuild, because they fired Billy Donovan, you know, over there. And it looks like they're going to sell, you know, break up the team, even though they had a promising team. And of course, like you mentioned, he's, you know, huge friends with LeBron. Even going back to the whole Big Three rumor, like a decade ago, before he made the controversial the decision. Because remember, back in the days, there was rumors that LeBron and C3 and Carmelo were gonna form a Big Three in New York. And of course, as we all know, that never happened. And unfortunately for us Knicks fans, that will never happen, because
that's a
fantasy. Nobody's gonna come in and resurrect the Knicks franchise. You know,
Jesus can't even resurrect this franchise.
Hey, I disagree with that, my friend. Jesus can make miracles. It might take a long time for this miracle to happen, but it will happen eventually. Will we be alive? I don't know. Will it be year 3000? Who knows? But the Knicks will be respectable again. They just have to do the right decisions. But as we can see, we'll believe it when we see it when it comes to the Knicks turning it around. But what do you think about Westbrook? If you had to choose between one of the two, even though they're both,
I guess I'd go with Westbrook. I guess I'd go with him. You know, I guess you could build a team around him, you know, rather than Paul. But I think Westbrook would be a better fit than Paul, actually. Westbrook is a guy, you know, who can score. He's a better scorer than Paul. A bit unselfish.
Mm-hmm.
A bit selfish, I should say.
Right.
But, you know, you could build a team around him. You know, put some pieces around him, and, you know, you could go to the playoffs. I don't know about winning a championship, but, you know, it'd be something to start off with. So I wouldn't mind Westbrook.
Yeah, I think you make a very valid point, because obviously they're both great players, they're both Hall of Fame players. Chris Paul, I mean, he obviously, you know, he's like in the last leg of his career. You know, he has two more years on his contract. He's making $40 million, I think, for the, you know, each season. So, you know, he wants to win a title. I mean, you could clearly see he is starving to win a title. Westbrook, on the other hand, I think he wants to be the man on the team. You know, he wants to be the man on the team. You know, he's a walk-in triple-double. I don't think he values winning as much as Chris Paul does. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he wants to lose. But I think he would be more open to, playing on the Knicks. You know, he loves fashion. You know, New York City is the fashion capital of the world. And if he came on the Knicks, he would be the main focus, because the ball would be coming through him. You know, if he's going on another team, especially the Lakers where it's stacked, you know, he's going to have to sacrifice his game, kind of like Earl the Pearl Monroe did when he came to the Knicks. I mean, obviously he got the ring in 73, which ironically was the last time the Knicks won a championship, which was 47 years ago, but I digress. But I think Westbrook would be more open to become to the Knicks, because he would be the focal point of the offense and not that much pressure on him. I mean, the Knicks fans are pretty much reasonable, you know, in that regard, because the Knicks, we need to take baby steps for this team to get back respectability.
Oh yeah.
But if they're going to make a blockbuster trade, they cannot, and I repeat, they cannot trade R.J. Barrett or Mitchell Robinson. I wouldn't want them to trade Knox, but come on, we got to be real here. In order to make a trade, you got to get something to get something. But if they're going to make a blockbuster trade like that, Mitchell Robinson and R.J. Barrett has to be on this team. They have to be on this team, because if you subtract any of these guys, then the point of upgrading this team, it's just, you know, it's pointless, to be honest with you. You need those two guys, and then you need a veteran, future Hall of Fame guy to lead the way, and then you could develop through the draft, hopefully with this 8 pick, you know, if we get this 8 pick, you know. Because the only way they're going to attract free agents, they have to. Let me repeat this. They have to draft. They have to draft the right pieces for this team, because nobody is going to come and save this team and change the culture of this franchise. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Amari Stoudemire is not coming out of retirement to try to play for the Knicks, you know? That's like the only guy who had the guts to try to come to this losing situation and try to make something, try to turn the franchise around. And nobody else, you know, did it. Could Carmelo have done it? Probably, if we didn't destroy the whole franchise to make the Carmelo trade when he wanted to come to us in the first place. You know, I think Dolan forced Donnie Walsh to do that trade, because had they kept that team intact and then just let Carmelo come the following year in the offseason, that would have been an interesting team.
Yeah, that would have.
But we'll never know. But, you know, hey, we'll see what happens, man. So congratulations, you know, to the Lakers, and hopefully the Knicks in this upcoming draft. I think the draft is next month. The Knicks will make the right decision to try to get this team back to respectability, you know. So we'll see what happened there.
See what happens with that.
Yeah. So, yeah, switching gears to baseball. Obviously, both of our teams are playing golf right now. The Yankees, you know, they got eliminated by the Rays. And the Mets, you know, they eliminate themselves, you know, for the past couple of years since 2016. So, you know, the Yankees are going to try to, re-sign some guys, most likely Tanaka. Probably go after Bauer. And I think they might even go after, JT Realmuto. What do you think they're going to do?
Well, there's some guys that are probably not going to come back. Some guys that will. Sanchez, you know, right now it looks like this might be the end of his Yankee career. Because these last three seasons, power-wise, he has the power numbers. But average-wise, I mean, his numbers have been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And he strikes out a ton, and he's so inconsistent, you can't rely on him. And it's time, I guess, to cut ties with him and, you know, let him go play somewhere else. I mean, I would love Realmuto, but, you know, that guy is, I think, you know, approaching his 30s, you know, as well. So he's not a young guy. So, yeah, I don't know which way to go. But as far as Matsui, Matsunaga.
Tanaka,
you know, I'm on the fence on whether or not they should bring him back. I mean, this year he looked a bit shaky. I mean, and usually in the postseason he's been great. This year he is not good. I don't know if it's because it is, you know, the injury he had this year. So I'm on the fence about whether to bring him or not. The only guy right now I think we should definitely bring back is DJ LeMahieu. You got to bring that guy back, no question. I mean, he's our most valuable player, so you got to re-sign him. That's the first priority in my mind. So everyone else is just, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. But DJ LeMahieu, that's a must sign.
Mm-hmm. 100%. DJ LeMahieu has to re-sign with the Yankees. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I'm sure he's 100% open to that. But money talks. So Yankees, they gotta take out the checkbook, the same checkbook they used for Garrett Cole. You know, they're gonna you know, use it to make him re-sign.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So I'm not surprised about that. And you know, yeah, I think it's gonna be if Cohen gets approved by, you know, MLB. And he's a man of his word. You know, it's gonna be a fun hot stove. You know, if that's the case, I don't even. To be honest with you, I don't even want to think about that scenario, because, you know, until it's official, I'm trying not to torture myself with the possibilities of, you know, what could happen with the Mets positively, you know, because you know, the Mets will rightfully be in the hunt, you know, for JT Realmuto, Trevor Bauer, you know, to try to improve this team. Because, but obviously we all know if there's star players out there lurking in the shadows, will always be the pinstripe bandits. And that's the New York Yankees. They're going to come in there with their checkbook and just take everybody away. But hopefully,
it's all about the pitch also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have the right pitch. I mean, If they get, if you guys get Cole, you guys are gonna have money as well. So that's not gonna, be an excuse.
Yeah, I agree. This would be the first time ever that the Mets, you know, the Mets don't have an excuse. You know,
they
gotta put up or shut up. They don't have, you know, they won't have a cheap owner who, you know, who's basically gonna give their money to a crook who robbed the team blind, who supposedly they were gonna offer him a partial ownership of the team long time ago, before he robbed us blind. That affected us, and you know, hopefully, you know, Cohen will be hired, and then Alderson will get a chance to, you know, take another team, another Mets team to, you know, to the World Series, but without any financial constraints, you know. So, you know, I look forward to that possibility. You know, it'll be a fun off season. Mets haven't had a fun off season probably since 05 when they signed Pedro and Beltran.
Yeah.
You know.
So you had Lowry in 2019.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's what a signing that was. I mean,
oh man, shoot. I was just mentioning him today. Like, I forgot you guys even signed him.
I forgot too. I forgot this year. I mean, until they play, you know, he's trying to come, you know, his way back to the team. He's trying to come back. And then afterwards, like a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, you know, he just went home.
Wow.
You know, in the training site, you know, which was basically the equivalent of the minor leagues, because there was basically no minor league game. They just had like simulated kind of stuff to keep the guys ready on the that site. What they called it? The off field site. I forgot what they called it. You know, like the people training to possibly come to make the roster.
Oh yeah.
I forgot what they called it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but
I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, let's hope the Mets, you know, Cohen will be approved by MLB, which will boost up all the what's the word I'm looking for? It'll boost, you know, the market, you know, the you know, the market for all the other teams. You know, if the Mets can be sold for, what, $2.4 billion, you know, all the other teams, when they sell their team, they'll make a more of a profit when they do it. So hopefully that'll go through and the Mets will resurrect their franchise, because Lord knows all the teams I root for, they need a resurrection for real. So we'll see what happens with that. But a franchise that is really resurrected is the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, this team, you know, they've been the best team all year round. And right now, they're playing in the bottom of the eighth as we speak. The Rays, they were leading 4-0. The Astros just cut into the lead in half, 4-2. The Rays are batting as we speak, and you know, the Rays are 3 outs away from, you know, clinching their second World Series appearance since they lost to the Phillies in 08, which was also the Phillies' last championship and their first, the Phillies' first championship since 1980, even though they've been around since 1882. But that's, you know, besides the point. And then you have the Astros, America's favorite team, in the eyes of Houston fans, I presume. You know, they're pitching right now. They're trying to hold on to the – they're trying to – hold on to this two-run deficit, and they're going to try to do a miracle to try to score 3 runs to go back into the World Series. But
Astros have been the 4 straight ALCS. And if they lose this will be their third this will be their – second ALCS loss out of the 4 years. Because they've gone to two World Series. You know, they won one, and then they lost one, right? Last year, they lost to the Nationals.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll definitely see what happens with that. We'll keep you guys posted, before we head out over here. Right now, the Rays are still leading 4-2, and the Astros are still pitching as we speak, waiting for they're trying to get two more out so they can, they're going to try to beat the Rays, but the Rays look like they're in command right here. Yeah, they got two on with one out, trying to tack on some runs. So yeah, this has been a great series. You know, the Astros were leading what 3-0, and then the Astros have came back, forced a game seven.
Yeah, Astros, they've been a feisty team this whole postseason. Despite, coming into the postseason with a below .500 record, they're showing why they've gone to the ALCS the past 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, time is clicking.
Mm-hmm.
So, not much time left for them to, get some runs in. They just have one more inning here.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't score in the top of the night, their season is over.
Yep. And they'll be playing golf with our two favorite baseball teams.
Oh yeah.
But we'll see what happens. We'll keep you guys posted on that very, very shortly. But on the other side of the coin, the NLCS. Yeah, we have a huge NLCS over here too. The Braves. They were dominating the series, but then, I think they went up to a three. They got to a 3-0 lead too. It was 3-1. 3-1, and the Dodgers they've won two straight to force a game seven, which will be tomorrow night, or tomorrow anyway. So, I mean, we've had some. As much as I'm, not happy that my Mets and the Knicks didn't make it to the playoffs, but these postseason have been great. Well, I'd say very good. I won't say great because my team is in it, but they've been very good.
It's been a very good postseason. I'll say that, especially both series have been up and down. You have one team dominate, then the other team comes back,
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been a wild postseason, but fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Definitely has been. And, basically the Braves, they're going to try to win their first championship since 95 if they can win tomorrow. And the Dodgers, who's been the National League darling these past couple of years because they've been in the World Series all these years, practically, with the exception of, the Mets and the Cubs, making it to the World Series. And then, of course, the Nationals this past year. The Dodgers, they've been the bridesmaids, ever since 88, When Kirk Gibson hit that home run off, Dennis Eckersley, they haven't won it. They've been knocked out of they've been basically eliminated.
Yeah.
But hey, who knows? I'm pulling for them to win. Beat the Braves and hopefully lose to the Rays in the World Series. But yeah, that's what I hope.
But whichever team goes, it's gonna be interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about that, for sure. But shifting gears to WWE. Oh wait, I guess before I go to WWE, Le'Veon Bell. He got he got his wish. He got released by the Jets, and now he's with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's gonna get his title that way. You know, it all works out for Le'Veon Bell. I mean, the Gase wasn't using him right, and the whole marriage between him and the Jets was horrible from the start. I mean, he had a horrible relationship with the Steelers. He didn't play two years ago. Before he came to the Jets, and then afterwards, I'm trying to remember what else. And then these past, year and change, he's been not used correctly, And what can you say, man? Jamal Adams, a guy who was courting him for years to come to the Jets. He jumps ship. He forces a trade, same way, criticizing the organization. They get rid of Jamal Adams, and he leaves, Le'Veon Bell, the guy he was courting for years to come, and then Le'Veon Bell basically. Tweeted that, liked the tweet, basically, saying that he should get traded or whatever. And now he's gone too. So it's like this Jets team is really, it's in total disarray, man. They basically got the Mickey Callaway of coaches in Adam Gase. And what I noticed recently that I've never noticed before?
What?
Mickey Callaway and Adam Gase literally sound the same way. They literally have the same accent, same demeanor and everything. Like they literally cloned them. They literally cloned Mickey Callaway and put him in the NFL. Because these guys are overmatched. They're overmatched. Yes, they've had experiences. Mickey Callaway, obviously he was a great pitching coach. With the Indians, and then of course Gase, he was a offensive coordinator, with the Colts, which of course they had Peyton Manning, who himself is basically his own offensive coordinator, and then he was coaching. He got his first job coaching the Miami Dolphins, who didn't do anything in the same division as the Jets. So the Jets would have had a front row seat to the man they're hiring, but yet they passed on Mike McCarthy, a dude who won a championship with the Green Bay Packers, as a coach. They let him go. They let him go, and then afterwards they hired this guy who's inexperienced. I mean, it's a total joke.
Yeah, Jets botched that with the, that whole Le'Veon Bell situation. I mean, they didn't use him correctly from day one. Watch him go to Chiefs and watch how Chiefs use him correctly.
Yep.
Catching passes out of the backfield, opening routes for him to run. They're gonna use him in multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna be effective and give you the numbers that he should have produced. In the Jets uniform.
Yep.
So you'll see how he does well in the Chiefs system versus the Jets system. But yeah, Gase is gonna be fired. Gase is most likely gonna be fired after the season.
yeah,
by the looks of it. So
that's what they're gonna do most likely. If they have any brain cells, they're gonna fire him most likely after the season. That's the Jets' MO. You know, they let an experienced coach in Mike McCarthy go to the Cowboys, and yet they signed an inexperienced coach who already had problems with star players in Miami. They sign him, and then they're shocked that he can't mesh with a star player like Le'Veon Bell or Jamal Adams or anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And look at this. You know, Mike McCarthy, he lost his quarterback. You know, Dax Prescott. You know what I mean? But I'm sure a guy like that, he's gonna find a way to adjust. You know, Adam Gase, man, he had a great running back, and he couldn't even use him.
Yeah, they just botched that. And you know, if Gase didn't want Le'Veon Bell from day one.
He did.
According to rumors.
Yep, it's obvious. It shows. And then when they asked, the reporters were asking him, did they misuse him? Instead of being a man and be like, you know, okay, you know, we messed up. He didn't have his best. He didn't have his best year. He didn't have his best performance, and I didn't coach him well. He's like, oh well, you know, it's I'm trying to remember exactly what he said. He's like, well, it's useless. I forgot what quote he said, but he basically essentially said like, it's too late now. Anyway, you know how he was being used. But man, this guy, man, he Bobby Bonilla, the Jets, man. The Jets are paying for this horrible signing as a coach.
Yeah.
It never made sense to go after that guy. And the Jets are going to suffer for it. You know? Darnold took a step back. And they might, you know, go after Trevor Lawrence. You know what I'm saying? Like, both teams when you think about it, because they're both 0-5. Giants too. Like, they might replace Lawrence. Oh, what are you going to say? I'm sorry.
No, I say both teams are horrible, but the Giants, I don't think they'll fire the coach because, you know.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
They just got him this year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't think they should fire him anyway. You know, Joe Judge looked like he actually has a game plan instead of this guy who looked like he had a deer in the headlight look ever since the press conference dealing with the media.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on. If he couldn't handle the media and the pressure in Miami, where it's loosey-goosey, I mean, on the beach, how in the world did they think he would be able to adjust in New York? I just don't get it.
Yeah, 0-5, man.
Yep, both teams are 0-5 for the first time in NFL history. Both teams are 0-5 to start.
I don't know who will get their first win.
Giants, easily the Giants.
Well,
tomorrow
they play the Washington football team, who is 1-4, so they have a chance to get their first win tomorrow. So we'll
they see. Will. They will. Jets, on the other hand, man, they're going to be knocking on the door of the Detroit Lions, and the Cleveland Browns from a few years ago. So you're going to have company. Yeah, that is a bit. We're coming to join you. But yeah, let's just move on to WWE. And I guess since we're talking about my team's ineptitude and how they use WWE logic on a daily basis, let's talk about WWE's.
Oh, by the way, sorry to interrupt you, Will, but
yep.
Rays are going to the World Series. They just
all right. Thank you. Breaking news, folks. Breaking news. You heard it from Mac first. The Tampa Bay Rays are going to the World Series, and they are going to wait for the winner of tomorrow's NLCS championship between the Braves and the Dodgers. So whoever, you know, so either of those two teams will face the AL champion Rays. So again, congratulations to the Tampa Bay Rays on going to the World Series. So yeah, So I mean, congrats to the Rays. I hope they can pull it. They can win it all.
Yeah, they certainly got a good team for it. And you know, I hope it's a Rays and Dodgers series. That will be, I think, a more fun series to watch than the Rays and Braves.
Yeah, I agree. I'm hoping it's a Rays Dodgers series too. You know, I have no love for the Braves, so I don't want to see them go to another finals. And they're not going to be facing the Yankees, who have their number.
Oh yeah.
You know, for the past couple of years, so I don't want to see the Braves win another title. So. No, thank you. So, congratulations to the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, because if the Braves go and win the championship, it'll be back-to-back years that NL East team has won the championship.
Yeah, I know. And I'm still suffering from the Phillies winning the championship in 08 against the said Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely don't want to see that again. You know, the Tampa Bay Rays go to their second ever World Series, appearance. Of course, like I just mentioned, the Phillies beat them in 08. And now the Rays are going to try to rewrite history and win their first ever championship. So I'm pulling for them. Good luck, Rays. I hope you can do it. I hope you're staying either the Braves or the Dodgers in the World Series, which will – definitely talk more about that next week, but let's talk about WWE and their lack of consistency and logical stuff. So yeah, the shocking thing that came out of the draft was the New Day has broken up. Big E, he's going to stay on SmackDown, and the New Day, even though they were the SmackDown champions, they're moving to Raw, and then the Street Profits, who were the Raw tag team champions, they move to SmackDown. Before I get to their inconsistency, the one smart thing they did, which I will give them credit for, is that I think this happened on Raw. Yeah, that did happen on Raw. Is that they handed over? They had both teams hand over the titles, so that they made the dumb situation right, So you if you remember what I'm saying, the Street Profit hand over their Raw tag team titles to the New Day, and then New Day did the same thing at the same time. They handed it over, so that righted a big wrong with that whole draft. Even bigger wrong was New Day being broken up. Like, they didn't have to break New Day up. They could have been doing what they were doing this whole time, this year. They could have had, New Day. They could have had Xavier Woods and Kofi win the title, the tag team titles. And just have Big E focus on the title, focus on, the Universal title on the same brand, and then have them cross over from time to time. That's all they had to do. I just don't get the whole concept of they gotta break up so Big E can go for a title. Did Triple H break up with DX when he won the titles? No. Did Hulk Hogan break up with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash when he won the titles? No. Did Nature Boy Ric Flair, when he was with the Four Horsemen, did he have to leave the Four Horsemen for him to win titles? No. I mean, come on.
I could have sworn I saw all three of them together on Raw this past Monday, right?
Yeah, they were there on SmackDown too yesterday too.
Oh, sorry,
but that was their farewell match as a trio.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it just don't make any sense. Like they, you know what I mean? Like they could have kept them as a trio. Basically, do what they did with Kofi. You know them. You know they're still in a trio, and you know they're gonna do whatever they can to help. You know, like they did with Kofi, they helped Kofi out to you know get the title and you know to maintain it.
Yeah.
They would have just done the same thing with Big E. That's what they should have done.
But no, they have to break them up and make them serious.
Just let them focus on the title. You know, Kofi and Xavier Woods. You know, just focus on winning the title, which they did on I think it was the last SmackDown. Yeah, it was last week's SmackDown at the draft when they won it. So that's all they had to do. But no, they had to break them up, but for no reason. What's your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, I mean, you know, I do kind of want to see them branch out a bit. Little Big E, I do want to see him compete for a major title, you know, because, you know, he's a guy that he's built to be competing for, you know, a heavyweight title, you know. So I do want to see him, you know, make a title run or, you know, contend for some major championship, you know. I mean, it's unfortunate that he, you know, they have to separate all three of them, but I do agree that, you know, you do have to give Big E a shot, you know, at the championship eventually. And then you get more, I mean, you sort of see Kofi and Xavier Woods wrestle as a tag team, which in the past, it was always Big E and Kofi. And
mm-hmm.
with Xavier Woods being like a side guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to see more of that dynamic with them as a tag team. I think, you know, they'll still be exciting to watch. But yeah, I mean, it will be sad, you know, not to see them three together, you know, again. But hey, it happens. You know, it's happened with other teams in the past, like, you know, teams like Demolition or, I can't think of some other teams right now. Demolition is like the most popular team I can think of in the past that, you know, they broke them up, but then eventually they had like three members, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, for Big
Rockers
E's,
broke up too.
Rockers, right? Heart Foundation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's part of the business. But you know, this gives Big E a chance to, you know, compete as a singles wrestler. I mean, that's what the fans want. That's what the fans are gonna get.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I'm with you. I think Big E, it's long overdue that Big E gets a title shot and hopefully a title reign. You know, Big E, ever since he came up, you know, we've always envisioned him as a championship caliber wrestler.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the only silver lining, you know. This will make, you know, them hopefully, you know, repackage him, make him more serious that they want him to be. And he actually wins the title. You know, hopefully challenge Roman Reigns for the title.
And I think Kofi and Xavier could be more exciting, you know, as a tag team, more high flying rather than that power and speed that they had with Big E. I mean, you'll see a more, you know, an athletic, you know, New Day team, you know, with those two. So, and you're still going to have the comedic stuff, you know, with them. So I don't see any major change.
Mm-hmm.
Or a major downgrade, you know. So,
yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I always thought, you know, when New Day first came up, I always envisioned that Big E would be the guy hunting for the title, and you know, I always preferred Big E. I always preferred Kofi and Xavier Woods to compete, you know, as a tag team solely, you know, basically. So that they could have like that high flying, you know, bird that. But like you said, usually, even though they had like the free bird rules, it was mostly essentially Big E and Kofi that wrestled the most.
Right.
Out of that group. But yeah, I did always prefer, because I think that the last two reigns have been Kofi and Xavier Woods, which is what I always thought would have been the blueprint for their 9 title reigns.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad that they're finally making Kofi and you know, Xavier be the tag team group that they were meant to be. So I'm glad that they finally done that. But I just felt like, you know, Big E should have still been competing for the title, but as a member of the team, but for the heavyweight title, or in this case, the Universal title.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, with the WWE. I'm trying to think what else happened on WWE other than the draft. Can't really think of anything else major that happened.
All I can remember is SmackDown.
Oh yeah, right. SmackDown ended with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso having their standoff, you know, to promote the Hell in the Cell.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was a good segment of basically showing that both men are willing to do anything, even though they love each other, you know, they're gonna do anything they can to, you know, be champion. Or in Roman Reigns' case, retain the championship and retain his record as being, you know, the tribal chief and the leader of the family. So
that was a good segment. I agree. They also had the Buddy Lee turning on Seth Rollins.
I think the storyline should have just died. I'm just done with the storyline. Now it's gonna be on SmackDown, so it's gonna be on for more months. What's the point of this? Okay, so now Buddy Lee is a good guy, and then now he's trying to earn the trust of Aaliyah's family. They turn him down, which is gonna be long. They're gonna continue this storyline until they trust him, and then maybe Buddy might turn back heel again and prove that this was part of Seth Rollins' plan all along. I mean, who knows? This storyline never is going to end.
Yeah.
I'm just done with the story.
That's the plan.
I'm just done with it. I'm just done with this whole storyline for good. Like, I'm just annoyed with the storyline. Oh, yeah. Sasha Banks, Sasha Banks and Bayley had the contract, but Bayley didn't sign it, so that's gonna drag on until Bayley is forced to challenge Sasha for the title actually Bayley to defend the title,
right,
at Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, that's. I want to see them just fight already.
Mm-hmm.
They've been dragging this for so long.
Yeah, I know. They were gonna fight last Friday, but then Bayley got herself disqualified on purpose by hitting Sasha with the same chair that she almost ended Sasha's career like a month ago. So, yeah, that's an interesting match. I mean, for me, I think they should have had this match at WrestleMania, at WrestleMania, but
yeah, you know, or even save it for Survivor Series, maybe.
Yeah, save it for Survivor Series. I mean, save it for like a major event, but they're rushing these matches.
Yeah.
Let's see. NXT, I don't know if you knew that, but NXT, they're going to have Halloween Havoc, the old WCW pay-per-view event. I'm trying to think what's going to happen. I think what's going to happen? I think Johnny Gargano is going to fight against Damian Priest, I think, for the NXT title. If I remember me right. No, actually it's who's he facing? Yeah, I think it might be he is facing him that for that. Cuz I think Finn Balor, he's the NXT North Division, the world champion, but he injured himself after he successfully defended his title against Kyle O'Reilly a few weeks ago at the TakeOver 31 pay-per-view event, where, you know, Ember Mood, returned. His wife, Johnny Gargano's wife, Candice LeRae, she won the Battle Royale at NXT on Wednesday. So she's going to be battling against I'm trying to think who's it. Oh yeah. Io Shirai for the women's championship.
That's some weird names. Io Shirai, Kakala Kree. No. Weird names.
But yeah, they have a bunch of some interesting matchups that's gonna happen at the Halloween Havoc pay-per-view event coming later this month. AEW, they had MJF. Basically, he made a proposition that he wants to join Jericho's inner circle, and Jericho and MJF agreed that they're gonna have a showdown. But it's not really a showdown; they're just basically having a date to eat steak at a restaurant. But the way how they were setting it up was like they were acting like it was like a showdown, like they're gonna have a fight or something.
That's funny.
So yeah, that's gonna be a funny and interesting segment.
Yeah.
Between the two of them this Wednesday coming up. I'm trying to think what else happened on AEW. I can't. I think Eddie Kingston attacked John Moxley. What else happened? Cody Rhodes, he defended his TNT title. I can't remember against who, though, for whatever reason. Yeah, I forgot who he defended it against. But yeah, it was a good show, all in all. But
pay-per-view events coming up on AEW for AEW for this month.
I'm trying to think what pay-per-view they're gonna have. What's the name of the pay-per-view? Because I think they're coming up with one soon. It might be next week maybe. Because I think they're gonna have that match. Where they're going to have John Moxley, formerly known as Dean Ambrose, going to team up with, Will Hobbs and I'm trying to remember that guy's name, the skater dude. What's his name? Oh, man, I forgot his name for whatever reason. Darby Allin. And they're gonna be battling. He's gonna be battling against the Taz group of Brian Cage, Ricky Starks, and Jake the Snake's, wrestler that he managed, Lance Archer. So that's gonna be the big main event there. Yeah, let me see what. Yeah, for whatever reason, my internet is not working now. So I can't even see what the pay-per-view event. I can't even check anything to see
It's next week, right?
I think it is next week. But
okay. So next week we'll review it.
Yeah. I can't really check to confirm it, but I think it is gonna go down next week. Probably next week Saturday.
I don't think
it's a Sunday, but yeah, it's definitely gonna be next week. So we'll definitely review that for you guys. Anything you'd like to say, Mac?
No, just enjoy the potential. Well, the World Series should be on Monday, right?
Yeah, it should be Monday. I think I'd have to check later on, but yeah, congratulations to the Lakers. Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Rays, and congratulations to the winner of the Dodgers versus Braves series, which will go down later tonight at 8 p.m. So
should be fun.
Yeah, definitely. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.